Good afternoon. I call House Judiciary Committee to order. Today is Monday, March 25th, 2024, and the time is 1:05 p.m. We are meeting in the Max Grimberg Committee Room 120 in the Capitol Building here in Juneau. I ask that you please silence your cell phones. The staff assisting us today is Susan with the Juneau LIO and Sophia with House Records. The following members present: Representative Johnson, Representative Gray, Representative Carpenter, Representative Groh, Representative Sumner, Vice Chair Allard, and myself, Chair Vance, and we have a full quorum to conduct business. We have one item on today's calendar, and that is to bring back House Bill 358, Prohibit AI Altered Representations, by Representative Kronk. And I will now call to the table the bill sponsor and staff, as well as my policy advisor. I will call the sponsor and his staff first to be able to give us a conversation about the work we've done so far, and I appreciate you stepping out of House Resources for a moment. Representative Sumner.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to clarify it because I couldn't recall the action. Did we adopt the CS or had we not adopted the CS yet?
Yes, we have adopted the CS draft U.
Okay.
As our working document.
Thank you.
So any amendments will be for version U. Any other questions before we hear from the bill sponsor? Okay, Representative Kronk.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Hello.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Representative Mike Kronk, District 36.
Dave Stancliffe, staff to Representative Kronk. Yeah.
And for right now, my staff, Dave, has been working vigorously with other people, you know, and your staff on this bill, and I would rather just before I even continue talking to mess things up, just step aside and let these two gentlemen go through what the changes are and the CS are. And so I would like to excuse myself because I do have another committee to go to, but I trust them very much and the process they've made. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kronk. So I will now invite my policy advisor, Bob Ballinger. And we do have online available for questions Casey Schroeder, who's the Assistant Attorney General of the Criminal Division from the Department of Law, and Ian Walsh, a legislative legal drafter, for specific questions on the committee substitute. And I believe that there have been some conversations since our last bill hearing on this that both Mr. Stancliffe, staff to Representative Kronk, and my policy advisor have had that they would like to share with the committee concerning some of the questions that have come up. So whichever one of you would like to begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, Dave Stancliffe, staff to Representative Kronk. As Representative Kronk just relayed, I am working closely with your counsel, and he's working with Ledge Counsel, and we had an extensive meeting with a big tech representative who's looking at language across the country and even in Congress this morning. Your staff will provide some of the information that he offered to make this a better bill, a tighter bill, one because it's landmark legislation and that we have nothing like it in statute. We're starting at a point where we want to be right because a lot will be built on it very rapidly. And so I appreciate his expertise. Unfortunately, for Representative Kronk, he has a bill up in finance, and I have another one to cover in resources down the way. So we're going to be as efficient with time as we can. So with that, I turn the remarks over to your staff.
Bob Ballinger, Representative Vance's office.
Before you begin, Representative Carpenter.
I just want to clarify, you said you had worked with a big tech representative. Might be pertinent to know who is influencing this conversation. Which company are we working with?
The person is Ben Moore, and he introduced himself as representing every major tech except Apple.
Microsoft.
Yeah, Microsoft and TikTok, but everybody else. And so,
okay.
So he's looking at language. And I might say that, just Madam Chair, Dave Stancliffe, staff to Representative Kronk, I was anticipating a much more perhaps aggressive stance or more of a negative outlook, and that wasn't the case. So I think we're had a good beginning point.
Bob Allen, represent Vance's office through the chair to represent Carpenter. The organization he's with is called TechNet. It's essentially an association of technical providers. So that is all the big boys, but also a bunch of other small tech companies, and then to the exclusion of Microsoft. And then also he made a point of saying that, that Chinese company that is so popular, shows you, yeah, TikTok is not part of them because it's not an American-based company.
And just for the committee, the reason that I wanted to bring these conversations to light is just some concerns and maybe nuances that we would want to consider in the bill. I have not drafted any of it as amendments because I want us as the committee to determine the direction that we want to go in light of these conversations. I think they're very, very relevant, and then we can decide what is appropriate. So, Mr. Ballinger, if you would please continue.
So I'm going to go through the changes that we would recommend based on the conversation that we had here, based on the conversation that we had with TechNet, and then also some things that we sort of discovered that would be good changes, we thought, to the bill as we went through the process. And as Chairman Vance made a point, is that any one of these things, I don't think anybody is wed to the language per se. So if there's a better way to do it and this committee finds it, I'd have to say I was very proud of the work that you guys did in the committee last time. It was really nice to see you all working hard, being sincere, being engaged. This committee did a great job last process. All right. So the first thing, and I wish that I had a document to hand to you, but if you have any questions, I don't mind sending to you essentially what I put together as far as recommended changes. But we start off dealing with the child sexual abuse material aspect of this. When you have a depiction that looks like appears to be a real child, well, before we had that, and it was under the possession of child pornography, and it really didn't apply to the viewing, production, or distribution. So what I've already asked actually the it's legal to do is to make it apply to those other entities as well on that. And then on the definition, where it gets down to the dealing with the CSAM or child pornography, I included one sentence. So this is on page 2, line 3, and then down further, but one sentence at the end that said, it is not a defense to this section that an individual depicted is no longer a child. So the idea of this is, I wasn't 100% sure if that was tight enough to cover somebody who's depicted who's no longer a child. And so the example I used was the Olsen twins. It's because that's my generation. I understand them. What if you put a picture out, you could tell it was the Olsen twins when they were 10 or whatever. But now clearly they are, you know, pushing 40 or whatever age they are now. So then if it is a depiction of a child at the time, then that should be sufficient enough to cover that. Then one thing that we got from TechNet, which I thought was a great addition, is we are giving them immunity for liability, the big tech companies, if other people are posting stuff on their sites. But they would like to actually have the ability to pull some of that stuff down, especially things like social media platforms and so forth. And so, but if they are searching for that material, they will actually be viewing it. They'll be potentially downloading it, right, and pulling it off. They want to have the ability to, in the language that I sent him, and I don't know how it will turn out, but is no civil or criminal penalty for violations of this act for actions taken to prevent, detect, protect against, report, or respond to the production, generation, incorporation, synthesization of child sexual abuse material. So basically what it would do is say that they won't be held liable for it if what they're doing is an effort to get rid of it, which I think is smart.
And if you could pause for a moment there. Representative Carpenter.
I just want to clarify, Madam Chair, that we're talking about the managing of the system that the images are found on. That's what you're talking about. The corporation or the entity that's responsible for managing the computer system where the images are found wants to be able to clean up their system Therefore, they have to do a search that would then violate the current bill.
That's correct. So if it is, if we're talking about Facebook, somebody reports material on Facebook, somebody who's, it's their job to go look at the material, then they will be, could be violating some of this material. It's actually a very similar exemption we give to law enforcement. We give law enforcement when it's their job to research or to investigate and so forth, this type of material, as long as they're engaged in that act, they are also exempt from that.
Any further questions before he continues?
All right. The next recommendation that came from TechNet is to have a little more broad exemption. So we say it's only a crime if you do this, but it's a defense to the crime if you use the disclaimer. Well, we don't actually say it real clearly that some of these entities are just exempt for prosecution. So one section that I would recommend adding is unless the person or entity removes the disclosure set forth in 1580.09. So that's the disclosure we've talked about, it doesn't apply liability to the following entities, and that's an interactive computer service, which we have talked about, and we defined, and I just add one thing to the definition as that defined as this code section, this federal code section, as set forth on January 1st, 2024, because you hate pointing to a federal code section or a rule or reg that could change over time. So you want to point to it as it sits today. And then internet service provider, cloud provider, or telecommunications network, or a radio or television broadcaster, including a cable, satellite, television operator, or programmer, or producer. So essentially, unless they actually take and pull the disclaimer off, they can be held be liable if they do that. But if they don't, they won't be held liable under this. And happy to take any recommendations on that. One thing that I do think the committee, I think that Representative Vance and Representative Kronk both agree with, is the issue of the word deepfake. So Representative Vance brought this up before, is that a timeless term that's going to continue forever? And actually TechNet recommended using the term materially deceptive media. And so that is something that if this committee wills moving away from defect and go into materially deceptive media, is something we can do.
If you could pause there, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair, this is sort of a more global question, but did we talk about, or is there a reason why we're including the disclaimer? Why not just outlaw AI to be used in electioneering communications, period? Why have we'll go ahead and do it, but use this disclaimer? Why not just outlaw it?
Bob Allen, Representative Vance's office, through the chair to Representative Gray. The answer is I don't know. I mean, you could do it. I think one of the reasons why is it makes it a little bit of easier, softer. Maybe it's a velvet glove over the iron hand. It makes it a little more manageable. Probably also makes it a little more defensible under First Amendment ground that you are giving them a mechanism to use it as long as it's disclosed. But I honestly can't tell you. But that would be a policy decision for the committee, I think.
Representative Sumner.
Through the chair, I would think that might be like a First Amendment issue. If you're not allowing that form of political satire, even if it's labeled, then that probably is a substantial First Amendment issue, I think.
One of the reasons that I'm having an open conversation about all this is that because this is new, I think it's great that we have a very transparent conversation about the concerns. What do we do? How do we treat AI? I was just scrolling through social media this weekend, and there is so much use of AI out there. How do we feel that it's appropriate for the general consumption moving forward, especially within our elections, and how are we going to identify that? And wanted to just bring up the conversations that are concerns, and then we can determine what these amendments should look like. That's why I haven't had them drafted, because I think there's nuances that we can all come together on and work that out. But if just like you've mentioned, about the use of Photoshop and different things. There's so much that's already AI. We have to learn to work with it. What are those sideboards going to be and how are we going to identify it? So whatever recommendations I'd like this committee today to be considered a dialogue, and we can work out the direction. And with these recommendations, I will draft amendments, encourage members to bring more forward so that we can continue to work through this. Representative Carpenter mentioned that there is another AI bill that's going to be coming to this committee, so we will have more to consider. But as Mr. Stancliffe mentioned, this is the foundational work that will be built upon. So all of this, I think we should just be able to openly talk about with tech companies. That usually isn't on the record, but I feel that it's appropriate right now. And, you know, just want to thank the indulgence of the committee right now. So if there are not further questions, Representative Carpenter.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'm curious to know if Ben Moore with TechNet or any other conversations that have been happening, you know, in other venues are considering something other than civil action liability here. As in, do we need to make it, and I'm not looking for new crimes to have to enforce, but it strikes me that the damage is already done when somebody violates the statute here with regard to deepfakes or whatever terminology we want to use. Potentially civil liability may not be enough, being that somebody would have to sue after that, and if they don't have deep pockets, then are they really going to go that route? So it's a risk that somebody might decide to take. Do we need to consider that it needs to be a criminal violation of some sort if it's egregious?
Thank you, Representative Carpenter. Part of that is also any authority that we may want to give to APOC for campaigns. And I know that that is a touchy subject, but, you know, what do we want? Who do we want enforced? What do we want? How do we want it to happen? And that's what this conversation is about. Mr. Stancliffe, you had a response.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dave Stancliffe, staff to Representative Kronk. The slant of the conversation is already reminding me that these suggestions and the involvement of big tech today in the conversation, and I think Bob Ballard here can make it, we can verify. I ask that for all the things that they're concerned with, that if they were not able to bring a representative, an expert representative, to your table to discuss those things and support those things and explain those things, at least provide in writing a letter that would do so, which she agreed to. On the question of deepfake versus a more legalistic term, vernacular is everything, as we know in the business, but there's a characteristic about deepfake that suggests that it not be taken quite as seriously, maybe, from a legal standpoint, but it's more readily understood now because it's the buzzword everywhere. So that's going to be a difficult one for the committee here to decide. If you want to go more legalistic, I think Representative Kronk and I have discussed this. And his feeling is whatever is going to be in statute that will be taken with the most authenticity and the public fully appreciate how serious it is. So sometimes the vernacular is nice when you're explaining a bill. Say, yeah, this is a deepfake bill, but this is the technical term. So it's up to the committee to decide what you want to do on that.
Thank you. Mr. Ballinger, please continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We're almost done. So Bob Ballinger, Representative Vance's office. Okay, so we also are updating the definition of artificial intelligence. So the definition we had before is the definition that they used in Washington and was, you know, the standard a few years back. But it's no longer the standard. So this is another amendment that we got from TechNIC. And it means, so I'll just read it to you, and obviously we'll get this to you right away. But it means a machine-based system that for explicit or implicit objectives infers from the input it receives how to generate outputs such as predictions, content recommendations, or decisions that can influence physical or virtual environments. Different AI systems vary in their levels of autonomy and adaptiveness after deployment. So it is the standard definition that they use, and it's not far off as far as uses different words, but has encompasses basically the same meaning. Then one, a lot of conversation last time had to, we went over, in fact, the rules chairman pointed out the potential problem of font sizes. And so this actually came from TechNet, the definition. And what we're saying is that it is a defense of this action under the section that the candidate or sponsor responsible for the advertisement or the electioneering communication include a clear and conspicuous disclosure that states this image, audio, video includes materially deceptive media. Now, this language, clear and conspicuous, is what we got from TechNet. Afterwards, I looked up and I saw what currently you all use in your statute when referring to the paid for by, and the language you use is easily discernible. And so my recommendation is probably to use the easily discernible, since that is already being used in code, but it, you know, you can go either way with that. And then the last thing is the definition of deepfake or materially deceptive media. My recommendation after the conversation, although this is something that's definitely a policy choice, is to include a C. So currently it has A and B. You know, A is, you know, it's authentic. B is, it doesn't represent the truth, basically, you know. But then C says, is intended to harm. So this goes back to a conversation we had with the bill sponsor from the original legislation, is intended to cause harm to the individual whose appearance, action, or speech has been altered or manipulated. And so for this definition of either deepfake or materially deceptive media, it would actually require for it to be actionable that it be against or used in a person negatively with the intent to cause harm to another person. So if you wanted to make yourself look skinnier, remove a zit, put a puppy dog in the image of your thing, none of that would fall into this category of deepfake. But if you made some of those changes, you gave your zit to your opponent, well, that, on the other hand, may or may not be actionable if it met at the level. But I think there's a good chance it would be actionable.
Thank you. Representative Carpenter.
Thank you. I would just like to put on the record here, and maybe for further discussion, that we do have a statute that probably applies to this. The question that I previously asked, and that's AS11.46.565, and it is criminal impersonation in the first degree, and AS11.46.570 is criminal impersonation in the second degree. And I think while there's not a direct correlation to artificial intelligence definition of impersonating someone else by creating a likeness of them, I think there's probably at least a flavor of, for example, the second degree says pretends to be a representative of some person or an organization and does an act in the pretended capacity with intent to defraud, commit a crime, or obtain a benefit to which the person is not entitled. And it seems to me that there's a similarity between using AI to present a person, present somebody in a bad light, if it were in a different light than what is true, and fraud with regard to the criminal impersonation.
We have Casey Schroeder and Ian Walsh from Legislative Legal on. If you have any questions for the current impacts of that.
I don't have a particular question in mind at this point in time. I think it is something that I need to consider a little bit more.
Okay.
And especially, I would like to see the amendments that we have been talking about and then apply that.
So the question that I have for the committee is, with some of the ideas that were thrown out here, you know, I want us to kind of flesh out some of the nuances of the direction that we want to go. I'm not asking for agreement on things, but we need to establish a lot of legislative intent on this. And one of the areas that we do need to clarify is the intent to harm. of what does that look like? And Representative Gray brought up different instances of that. And, you know, when we are speaking of the CSAM issues with children, obviously that one's a little bit easier to define the harm. But when it comes to the deepfakes and electioneering communications, we need to make sure that we establish that well, because currently on page 2, line 15 through 17, section 4, we have a person may not use a deepfake in an electioneering communication made with the intent to influence an election. So is that sufficient, and what does it mean to influence the election for our legislative intent? We do have a history in Alaska that there have been elections won by one vote. So every vote does count. Now, if there were deep fakes that were used under this civil provision, a candidate could sue civilly because it caused harm, but that they lost the election by one vote. So we need to be very clear on the specifics of what we consider deep fake and the use of AI, because we are using AI on, you know, spell check is AI, for instance. So I for one use spell check and do not want that used against me in my in my campaign. So all of this, I know it seems very slow and way to run the committee on this, but I think all of us are in agreement that we need to be deliberative. So I want to open up a dialogue, Representative Gray and then Rep. Sumner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple of things. Number one, through the chair, at the last time we discussed the bill, I seemed to find fault with having it be in the largest font size. I have changed my mind, and I want that disclaimer in the largest font size. I think there should be pressure to not use AI. And so if you don't want to have an enormous disclaimer on the ad, don't use AI. The second thing I wanted to ask, there were a lot of changes that Mr. Ballinger just brought forward. I think what would be best for me, people can disagree, is if we entertain them each as an individual amendment so that we're not like agreeing to a whole bunch of stuff and might have a problem with one or the other. Lastly, I wasn't very prepared to hear the bill today. I wasn't, because I spent hours yesterday preparing for Vice Chair Allard's House Bill 338, and I didn't know. So that's all. Thank you.
Representative Sumner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess my question to you would be, were you implying that using spell check to write a statement that maybe misrepresents what your opponent says would potentially fall under this? Because I think that maybe would be problematic.
What I'm saying is that we need to clearly define the use of artificial intelligence, because we're already using it in so many ways that if we're too broad, we could inadvertently encompass things like spell check and Photoshop and all that. So we need to be very intentional in making a narrow, defined use of what we think is appropriate and that which would need a disclaimer. Vice Chair Allard.
Thank you. Through the chair. So in regards to Representative Gray's comment about doing individual amendments, could I kind of counter that? Is if there's one amendment with a bunch of stuff in it, would it be easier to just pick out the ones and then we can do an amendment to amendment? I'm just trying to figure out an easier way to go about it. And thank you for spending all your time on HB 338.
I love it. Vice Chair Allard, and correct me if I'm wrong here. Instead of us creating another CS, have each of these ideas as separate amendments so that we can consider each one. I hope that, yes. And that was my intention. And our amendment deadline is tonight so that we can take things, I apologize, tomorrow, so that we can take things up on Wednesday. So it's the intent that we get your amendments in by 5 p.m. tomorrow. We can then distribute them to the committee tomorrow night. Yes, Tuesday night. And then be able to take up on Wednesday and have a robust dialogue of what is before us. But I wanted to find out, hey, is there nuanced things so that we are drafting the amendments to the will of the committee to the best of my ability. Now, I'm going to do the best with the conversations that we've had with Representative Cronk's office, and I'm going to do my best on what I believe the will of the committee is for all simplicity, but I encourage you to bring forth your own because everyone has concerns. If we have duplicate, we'll deal with it then, but I'm wanting to make sure that we really establish the direction that we want to go on this. And there's a lot of nuances to this already. So that's, you still have time to be able to have conversations with the bill sponsor, with my office and legal, to make sure that we're drafting these in a way that's very clear. Representative Johnson.
Thank you. I'm sorry I had to step out, but to address Representative Gray's concern about font, one of the most effective TV ads I ever did had no writing.
Yeah.
And it just had the paid for by. So we kind of got a, I think there's, so that means I wouldn't have to put very big, and it would not be a deterrent. It would be a deterrent for people to do ads like what I'm talking about, more so than, and I'd be happy to share
it. It says easily readable, though.
Yeah.
Representative Groh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Preparing, going through the committee process on this bill, I commend you in the deep way that you looked at this, Madam Chair. I'm just struck by a couple things. Number one, there is so much we don't know. And number two, this is three things, actually, a rapidly changing field. And then third, there is, just strikes me that there are enormous potentials for both good and ill in AI in a whole bunch of ways. And so I do think it's useful to think about this in a broad way, as you have said, Madam Chair. And I look forward to a variety of amendments to address that.
Thank you. I would like to point out that if we have any specific questions, we have Casey Schroeder, who is making herself available regarding the CSAM, the stuff regarding children, if there's any more questions about that, because she can speak to the case law and then also the drafter. And I know before we've had to wait for them, so I'm really appreciative that they were able to be here today. Does any further questions for either of them? Mr. Stancliffe.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Dave Stancliffe, staff to Representative Cronk. His one, I wouldn't say it's an admonition, but encouragement is we kind of have rules of the road in the election season and processes that, whether it's cut and paste things and the type of things that the public understands that goes on in the business, he would like the bill to stay focused on individual protections of the individual. And anything that alters reality with regard to personal identity, be it in the election business or other businesses, that there be the protections and at least the notification, because any time something is put out there that could be interpreted as reality, yet it's not, there has to be a way of letting people, A, know it's not, and try to interpret why it was put out and open the door, at least at the ground level, to allow for civil action if the grievance adds up to that big an infraction. So because you can go on a runaway real fast when you start looking at where it's going. I think Representative Groh hit the target. It's just going so fast. Start small. Statutes can be amended in the future, but be as tight as you can on the individual protections and not try to do a complete encompassing work here. The other aspect that Representative Kronk was wondering about, and I have no idea, just so that you know, is there is a more comprehensive bill that I believe is in state affairs on the House side, and I don't know what the future that for that bill might be, but it continues the discussion on a broader level, so we don't see it as competing at all. He wants to make sure that that's clear. You know, whichever measure does the best job to get something placed, he'll support.
Representative Gray.
Thank you. Through the chair to Department of Law, Casey Schroeder.
Yes.
Thank you. My first question has to do with page 2, lines 3-6, about creating AI creating sexual abuse material. And I guess my question is, if it's depicting someone who's over the age of 18, is it completely legal? I mean, can AI created pornography involving any of us, is that legal?
Ms. Schroeder.
Casey Schroeder, Assistant Attorney General with the Criminal Division at the Department of Law. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we hear you now.
Okay, thank you. Through the chair to Representative Gray, that is not a crime. I did actually pose that question to several people over here when the Taylor Swift incident happened. And, you know, it sounded to us like possibly a civil matter, but it was not a crime.
Follow up?
Yes, through the chair. Can we make it a crime?
Through the chair to Representative Gray, that's a policy question. I think that there are probably ways to do something like that. But, you know, sitting here, I couldn't tell you exactly how that could be done. Obviously, there are First Amendment issues, but I think that those are things that could potentially be sorted out.
Follow up.
Thank you. Through the chair, Mr. Ballinger talked about the Olsen twins, who are clearly well above the age of 18 now. But if AI generated sexual abuse materials involving them as 10-year-olds, for example, we kind of surmise that that would still be a crime. They would still be victims. I'm curious of your opinion on that. Can we do that?
Through the chair to Representative Gray, are you asking if they're adults now, that somebody perhaps may have pulled pictures of when they were children? Yes. And used AI to create images and have them engage in sexual conduct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If that is the question, through the chair to Representative Gray, I think that could be done, yes.
Thank you. Final follow-up. So the second half of Section 2 in the lines that we're talking about, where it says it has to be recognizable as an identifiable actual child. And my understanding, as it was explained to me, is that because we needed an actual victim. But I guess the thing is, if the victim's 50 years old, I'm trying to figure out a way that we could make it so even if you couldn't find the person that it resembled, that we could outlaw using AI to make sexual abuse materials of very small children.
Through the chair to Representative Gray, 1161.127, as it is written now, says that we do not have to prove the identity of the child. How that is going to work with this particular language is a little bit of a question. We don't think that there will be very many cases that we would get where we would be able to say this child is an identifiable child with for example, maybe Sally Sue down the street. But I will say that we do now get child pornography cases where images of people that the offender knows have been taken and manipulated to do things. So I think that there are some cases that would be captured by this. And then again, we'd have to think a little bit more about how the current language in the statute meshes with the proposed language.
Follow up.
Thank you. Through the chair to Ms. Schroeder, if you took actual child sex abuse material, but used AI to make the children clearly unrecognizable, does that, I mean, I guess like that, I think you've already said that that we don't necessarily need to prove who the child was, but I'm just curious about keeping this language in the bill that, that the depiction is recognizable as an identifiable actual child. I'm just curious, going in the opposite direction, if you take real sexual abuse material and use AI to make a recognizable child unrecognizable, are you making it not child sex abuse material in the same way as it was before?
Through the chair, Representative Gray, no. If you look at the language of the statute itself, on page 1, at the bottom of the page, line 14, it says, a depiction of part of an actual child under 18 years of age. So if it's the part of an actual child's arm or a leg or something like that, it doesn't matter if the face is in blurred or something like that. If we can prove that that part of the image involves an actual child under 18, it would still qualify as child pornography if the other elements of the offense were met.
Follow up. Thank you. Through the chair to Ms. Schroeder, would this bill run into constitutional problems if we deleted from page 2, line 5, and the depiction is recognizable as an identifiable actual child by the child's face, likeness, or other distinguishing characteristics?
Through the chair to Representative Gray, that's an open question. I think the language that's in the CS now is also an open question. I can tell you that there is a federal statute that talks about whether the image is indistinguishable from a child, but there's also affirmative defenses that apply to that circumstance. So I think that making it limited to an identifiable child, we've considered that. We think that there is an analysis that is already in play for morphed child pornography that we would argue would also apply to images that are identifiable as an actual child. But when you start straying from that, I think that that's more of an open question. Again, not that it can't be done, but I think it would require a little more research on our part.
Thank you.
Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question to Ms. Schroeder. If an actual child is not required for artificial intelligence to create child pornography, how would we be able to prosecute when the statute requires us to identify whether the image, the child in the image is under 18, if there's no actual individual to point to?
Through the chair to Representative Carpenter, that would be the question. When you're talking about an actual child being involved, and in this case, in the language in the CS, it talks about an image of somebody that's identifiable as an actual person, there's emotional and reputational harm that there is case law behind, and there is a lot of courts that have discussed that in the context of morphed child pornography, where, for example, somebody takes the head of a child, a picture of a child, and puts it on maybe an adult body that is doing something sexual. So there's case law surrounding that, and they talk about the emotional and reputational harm. Extending that to a wholly artificially created image, but that is also of somebody that's identifiable, we think that that argument would extend to that circumstance.
Follow up?
Nope, thanks.
Any further questions for Ms. Schroeder? I do have one to follow up on a question earlier by Representative Gray. In the CS, we have civil liability for defamation based on deepfakes. Would an AI-generated pornography
of an adult be fall under this civil liability for defamation?
Chair Vance, we think possibly, although how that would work and how that would be proved, of course, is out of my wheelhouse. That would be a civil cause of action. There may actually be something that someone could do now without the bill, but potentially it could fall under that.
Thank you. I do have another question, broader question, and how often has AI been used as evidence during criminal trials currently?
Chair Vance, not often. This is something that we don't encounter very much. Of the cases involving child pornography, we do see some morphed child pornography, but as I have described, that involves an actual image of a child and not something that's been wholly created by artificial intelligence. We have not tried to do anything with artificial intelligence in this context. And then I think that this would be where it would happen. And we haven't seen AI used very much, if at all, in other contexts of the criminal law.
Thank you. I do. I think nationally, the issue with Taylor Swift is what kind of stirred up a lot of attention that maybe there needs to be laws around this. Because can you speak to just based upon, I guess, the news media, what I heard is that she was trying to find a way to be able to defend herself. Are you familiar with any of that she was trying to pursue legal action?
Chair Vance, I'm afraid I'm not familiar with the story. I think I heard about it just briefly and read some headlines. Otherwise, I'm not very familiar with it.
Thank you. And I hate to ask that question, but I think that example shows that it's going to be a growing concern. And what are we going to do in response to defending Alaskans if it were a similar nature? Representative Gray.
Thank you. Through the chair to Ms. Schroeder, there is an amendment to another bill that we're hearing in this committee that would make AI people. If we were to pass that amendment and state in statute that AI were people, would we then be able to say that AI depictions not recognizable people, that the AI as a person was being defamed and thereby could possibly outlaw depictions of very young children, even if it was completely AI generated?
Through the chair to Representative Gray, I think that you've probably exceeded my bounds of being able to respond to a hypothetical. That is something that I'd have to consider. If you were making it people, that would have potentially be applied to all Title 11. And so we'd have to consider how that would work. I think that it is possible to look at ways to potentially get away from having the identifiable child language. But again, I think that would require a little more research. Like I said, I think the federal statute does mention things like that, but it requires a little more research on our part. Thank you.
Any further questions on any area of the bill? Okay. I think we have a lot to chew on and consider. So, thank you, Ms. Schroeder, and for Mr. Walsh for being available. We have encouraged you to, you know, comb through this bill and the conversations. We will be drafting amendments in my office and trying to narrow this down as well as we can and continue this conversation on. So that concludes our business for today. The House Judiciary Committee will meet again on Wednesday, March 27th at 1 p.m. to bring back House Bill 358, Prohibit AI-Altered Representations, and House Bill 107, Criminal Law Definitions of Person and Life by Representative McCabe. Seeing there is no other business before the committee, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect. It is 1:54 p.m.